What prompted you to want to get that next 4-year term to continue with the city?
Well, what prompted me is I'm a person that I really love to help individuals. I'm one that, even if you look back at my background, I have a sports medicine undergrad degree, an exercise physiology degree, and all my jobs I've been around have been helping people on the medical slash fitness side of things. And I've always never been the one that stood on the sidelines and watched. I've always been in the action, per se, and there's no better way of trying to help people at the city level than run for city council. And, you know, with the city of Burlington, we're having some tough financial times, but I also think we're on the road to recovery. We've 2 years ago when we hired Jim Furneaux, he came forth and said, you know, you guys are in major financial difficulties. We were about $10 million in debt with some fund balances. And, you know, and we were traveling down a path that, you know, it's that slippery slope, per se. And, you know, we could have continued business as normal, but we would have hit that stage to where we would have had to lay off multiple people. We would have had to increase our property taxes way high. But we were able to pinpoint, able to make some cuts. Yes, we've had to do some property tax increases over the past couple of years. But, and we also have some principles and guidelines that we've set forth to help us get out of this financial hole and bring our budget, bring our balances back to normal. I look in 5 years from now, our debt levy will be about 53%. Right now it's at 76%. And even 2 years ago, we were in the 80s. So we've steadily gone down. Now people want us to have that happen overnight. Well, it took us 20 years to get in this situation. We're not going to be able to fix it overnight. Also, I hope in 5 years from now, because we have a five-year plan, that's why I'm stating the 5 years, that we're able to decrease our tax levy. Right now, we're one of the highest in of the cities in Iowa. And if we could start to reduce that in 5 years, because I feel that we are losing people from Burlington. Burlington is an older community. It's an aging community. So we have a lot of people that are on limited income because of retirement or pensions. We don't have a whole lot of factories here anymore or industries. And what we do have don't necessarily pay that hourly wage that they should. Yes, they may have good benefit packages, but at the end of the day, that hourly wage pays for a multitude of different things. But one discussion that I had in July with and actually a lady that I go to church with, I was walking into church one Sunday, and she grabbed my arm. She goes, "Chris, can I have a word with you?" You know, and you're like, "Well, I think you already got my attention, so you're, so yes." And so she sat me down, and she goes, "I never really knew how to say this to any council members, and I was sort of ashamed to say it too, but I just want to let you know about 2 years ago, my husband and I had to sell our home that we lived in, she lived in it when she was little and growing up, and it was actually her grandmother's home. So it was a family home, probably 100 years plus in the family. And they had to sell it because of the increasing property taxes on it. And she goes, it hurts me every day because we drive by it. And, you know, being on limited income, you have to make those changes in life. But, you know, so I really took that, and I'm like, you know what? Yes, we're trying to help the city's finances. But at what level are we truly trying to help those individuals that live within Burlington? And being at a high tax levy, you know, people are moving away. And we want to attract young people, young professionals to move here. But, you know, they're smart. They're going to look at smaller communities and say, hey, I could have this three-bedroom home in an outlying area and maybe only pay $1,000 tax, or I can move to Burlington, have a three-bedroom home, and pay upwards of $3,500 plus in taxes. So, you know, that savings of $200 plus a month, you know, it's tough. And so I really want to see, as we start getting our financial situation taken more and more under control, we're able to decrease that tax levy so people want to move back to Burlington, they want to be proud of Burlington, and they sort of want to live, work, and play here.
is a, you talk about in 5 years doing that, but looking at this upcoming budget, is it a done deal, or is it a foregone conclusion that the taxes will have to go up again to fix this? I mean, what do you see?
Well, that is a great question. You know, when we talk about this coming budget, you know, depending on who sits on the council next year, there's, you know, 3 seats that are available. You know, so I can't say right now that the taxes are going to go up. But what I will say for myself only is right now with the cuts that we have made, we are still about $450,000 shortfall of balance in our budget. And with that, that's less than 1% of our overall operating budget. I feel that those cuts could still be made in keeping our core services intact. And so our core services for me are our police and our fire, our roads, sewers, and bridges. And keeping all those intact and being able to not do a tax increase. There's a couple things that I'm pushing for and I've been extremely vocal about is, number one, looking at our medical benefits that we provide our city employees. Right now we allocate about over $1,100 per month per employee, full-time employee. And I actually have numbers of other cities within the area that they're anywhere from $590 a month allocation to $800. So we're providing a very good benefit from for the employees. But one of the alarming issues is that money that's left over for that allocation, they could actually roll over into a an IRA fund, which for me, I disagree with that, and the reason why is because then if they're in IPERS and the city contributes to their IPERS fund, and they also had the sort of the rollover for into their leftover from their medical benefits, I hate to use the word double dipping, but they're double dipping within their retirement fund. And so right now we could, if we could restructure that, start on the management side of things because they are non-union, and make some changes with that, we could potentially already save $200,000+ a year. So now we would only have to trim anywhere from $200,000 to $250,000, and I think that could be done very easy. Because what happens if we don't start looking at these things and for the medical aspect of benefits in the future, and when we have negotiations come up with the unions, it's either going to be laying off individuals, which I don't want anybody to lose their job, or is going to be somebody has to make some concessions within the medical benefits. So
that's why I would assume that the next time to go, if you're not able to open the contract, that is a priority for the next round of negotiations, is looking at those benefits.
Yes, 100%, because, you know, the only way we could open up those negotiations if the unions come to us. There are certain bylaws in place at the state level that says once that contract is signed, the only people that could really bring that forth is the union representatives, and so we could go from there. But, you know, a year ago, the transit employees brought some concessions, and because they were worried about losing jobs. And, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, we have to make some concessions. And, you know, I'm not saying we make it in wages, but we make it in benefits. Because if it's a true medical benefit versus a true, you know, is it a medical benefit or is it a benefit? You know, benefit to employee when they get their full medical, they get, you know, they could get their vision, they could get their dental, and everything's paid for. And then when it's ever left over, they put that away in a different fund. I disagree with that a little bit. And, you know, I maybe disagree with the amount of money we allocate per individual per year. So along with that, we also need to look at maybe prioritizing some other services. I've pushed before in the past our trash pickup and our trash haulers. If we don't prioritize it, can we be more effective and more efficient with it? Can we go to a truck that has an arm system and you get a bigger trash can? And can we go to single stream recycling? So there's all these different avenues that we could look at within the city. And we must dive in deeper to save our citizens money.
Are Cascade Bridge and a new police station even on the radar for you at this point?
I would love to say yes, but I can't say yes, to be truthful. And the reason why is because Number one, I feel Cascade Bridge probably should have been done 4 years ago. You know, 4 years ago when I was running for election, that was the number one topic that was on the agenda, Cascade Bridge. Are we going to repair it or replace it? And and then the police department. But being in our financial state and being able to try to balance our budget year after year and get our debt levy down, we really can't bring on that increased debt at this particular time. I'm hoping in 3 years or 5 years we can. But what I think is a more pressing issue than Cascade Bridge is our Mount Pleasant Overstreet Bridge. We have some maintenance issues with that and that we must address, and that is a major corridor running east and west in Burlington. And if that would happen to falter, we have other major issues that's going to cost us a lot more than $3.5 million in Cascade Bridge does. So we have to take that, I think, care of that bridge first. But police station, that was a temporary building that probably shouldn't have never have gone into. I'm hoping that in a couple years we have the support from Des Moines County and we're able to truly make a joint law enforcement center. But I hope that we could also open up talks to West Burlington. I think, being in a community of Burlington, West Burlington, Des Moines County, we should be working together as one. You know, West Burlington has a great police department. Burlington has a great police department. I'm not downgrading either one of that. But can we go to a regional or a metro service? And a lot of communities have done that. And they're able to do that and save taxpayers not only in Burlington but also in West Burlington money over that time. And then when you start to look at it, then you go into fire protection too. And so can we truly have a joint law enforcement center with everybody? As well as that, can we also have a command center that maybe we could bring in other outside communities, you know, Henry County, Lee County, and share that facility as one?
The Venue Works contract has got a lot of discussion in recent months. Where do you stand on that?
Well, number one, Venue Works, I think they're a great company and a great organization. The biggest thing that we wanted to do and we're striving for is to increase the uses of Burborino Auditorium. We have a great building down there, and it's underutilized. Over the past couple weeks, I've looked at it differently, and we need to get somebody in there. But I've asked some questions to some individuals. What happened after the 80s and 90s when Burlington was actually known for a little bit of a stopping ground for a musical and other acts? And the individual that was the promoter unfortunately got sick and passed away, and it really never gone anywhere from that. But if VenueWorks doesn't work out, can we look, in hiring our own individual and make it an incentive-based contract? You give them a base pay, maybe say $25,000 a year, and then you incentivize it. You say, okay, if you bring so many acts in and there's so much money that's generated, you get a proportion, you get a percentage of that. And, so it's it makes them work a little bit harder. It's sort of like that car salesman out there that, they get a base pay, and then more money they want to bring in, the more that, the harder they have to work. Venue Works, as well as our city manager and our, they were concerned that they've missed the window of getting acts in. Well, I disagree with that because I think that's a 365-day-year job. You're always working to get different acts in at different times. Now, some people sign or want their stuff laid out before the first of the year, but I was even talking to some Steamboat Day representatives and say, have you guys signed any acts? And they're like, no. So I'm not too concerned about that. My concern is I want that venue or that Burlington Auditorium to get more acts in there. And if it's not Venue Works, can we bring somebody in outside to do it and to do it really, really well?
Probably the final thing, and it kind of steps away from the budget, but I know in talking with you in the past, one of your priorities has always been nuisance laws and addressing those. What do you want to see when it comes to those nuisance laws? Do they need to be toughened? Do they need to be just enforced more?
Well, a combination of them both. You know, we have some enforcement issues. My thing is, if you're not going to enforce your codes and your ordinances, don't have them on your books. And that's it. And I think a lot of cities could say that too. But then the other thing is your fines and your overall your enforcement of when somebody is signed. Cedar Rapids Marion has a great blueprint of what they did after their floods in 2008. They were having some issues with some areas in their community that they wanted to bring back up, and so actually I have their paperwork. They went through the Iowa codes, and one of their things is, and it's a multi-step process, which we have a multi-step process here, but it's giving your fines a little bit more teeth. Here, you send them a letter, you put that sticker on their window or door, and say, you know, please contact the city. We sent you a letter. We would love to speak with you about your nuisance code violation. You know, so say it's high weeds or so they have so many days to respond. Either their response is usually take care of the problem. If they take care of the problem, everything else is, you know, nothing else is said or done. Well, and then step two, we come back. We in you hopefully have been able to be in contact with them. Now, being in contact, a couple of things could happen. You could extend that. You can say, you know what, no, we've given you ample time, and we're going to send our city crew in there, and we're going to address the problem. Well, what happens now is when we send our city crew in there, it's usually about $55 or $75 is the fine. In my opinion, that's not enough. The way other cities have done it, their fine is actually $750. So, you know, it's pretty substantial. But what you're doing is you're getting rid of those habitual offenders. And you're getting rid of those individuals that say, I'll just let the city do it. Well, and then the third phase is if they don't come back and the property keeps on becoming, distressed and or high weeds approach again, is you could actually take them to small claims court. You could get a civil lawsuit upwards to $5,000. And usually at that point, there may be a potential lien against that property. You hope that in the future that courts don't erase that lien. But what it is, it's basically saying, you know what, we have these codes, we have these ordinances, we're going to enforce them because we want to make Burlington a more beautiful city. We're not attacking the people that do a great job in maintaining their property and doing what they're supposed to do. We are going after those people that they are the habitual offenders. And I have to make that clear, the habitual offenders. And we have a list of them. And you can see them about every month when we discuss them and they're on our consent agenda. And it's the same names that pop up. We have a lot of rental properties in Burlington that the owners live out of town, and so they may have a manager to the property, and they may not know what's going on. And so by addressing it, they're going to take care of their property a little bit more. And thus, you know, if somebody's getting a fine, and if it's supposed to be maybe the renter that's supposed to be taking care of it, you know, they may have to push that over onto the renter too. So there's, you know, I just think we have to be tougher, but then we also have to have better enforcement too.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't. I just hope that I'm honored and blessed again to serve for another 4 years. You know, one thing about me, I'm extremely hard worker. I meet with individuals constantly and get back with them via phone calls or emails. I met with somebody actually a couple weeks ago on a Saturday morning. Actually, I ended up spending 2.5 hours in their kitchen, you know, but talking about issues, talking about different things. So that's one thing about me. I'm open. I'm very honest. You know, we may not always agree on certain things, but I always respectfully disagree with somebody. But it's communicating that with the citizens, and it's also communicating that with the individuals you work with on the council. So I just hope I get your support, and if anybody ever has any questions for me, they could always email me at Burlington City Council, or call me. My name and number's in the phone book. I have people that call me quite a bit, and I always get back with them. But it's been a good 4 years, but I hope and I pray that the next 4 years will even be better.